We're going to be looking at Psalm 103. And I was thinking of today, Father's Day. Dads, I'm a dad. We can relate. Yeah, but you're a minister. Well, I wasn't always a minister. And I don't think he did anything worse than I did. And he forgave me. And you're sitting here maybe because your son or your daughter said, "Dad, would you go to church with me today?" And you're here. Or on the other side, son or daughter, your dad has said to you, "Would you go to church with me today?" And for both sides of that story, the Lord loves you. And there is a promise that God will restore the years of the locust, which is a figure of, in the Middle East of Africa, these millions of swarming locusts, as the Proverbs say, they have no leader, but they swarm and eat. They take out hundreds of acres a day, just chewing through all the foliage they can find. God says, in your life, where the things of this world have chewed you up, he's going to restore that. And fathers, you and I have the greatest job assignment in the world. Were we, are we, will we be up to that job? Because ultimately, the Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. They belong to him. We're custodians. And so to know that he has created us and then through us has created these children, it's an honor to be able to listen to him. He knows all of their DNA structure, their chromosomes, their genes. He knows every weakness and every strength. And then he puts them in our care that we could shape them to be strong, humble people that will love. And society will have more salt in it, so society won't decay. So Psalm 103 is a man who was a boy, and as a teenager was willing to fight a 9-foot-tall, 10-foot-tall giant, looked after his father's sheep, and took a lion by the hair of his chin and beat him so that he would let go of a little lamb he was stealing. And he ran up and took a bear who had stolen a lamb and with a club beat the heck out of this bear. He was fearless when it came to protecting his father's sheep. And God was looking for a man that would be fearless to protect his sheep, his children. And David was called to be that man, the most popular of all the kings in Israel in all the history. He was a brilliant military leader. They won just about everything they ever fought under his leadership. He was brilliant in finances. He had today's money, billions and billions of dollars in gold reserves and silver reserves, and nations around him that brought cash flow in that were taxed. He had a heart, and he was tender. He played like a guitar. He played a lyre. And he wrote poems, and he wrote songs. And his ear was so good in his understanding of music that you'll look in the Psalms and most of your Bibles, and it says, "This is to the chief musician," or "This is to so-and-so, and is to be played on this." He knew if it was a choir to sing it or a soloist, if it was going to be more than one instrument. So this boy was raised by a man named Jesse. And Jesse, of course, was the grandson of Ruth and Boaz. And they had a baby named Obed, and Obed gave birth to Jesse, and Jesse gave birth to David. So Ruth, the Moabitess, not a Jew, was his great-grandmother. And then on Boaz's side, going back one, two generations, was Rahab, the harlot. When the Israelis went in to take over the Promised Land, they went to the city. She hid them and said, "Would you promise that you won't kill me or my father and mother or my brothers and sisters?" And Joshua said, "Who's ever in your house will be under the protection of God. All I ask you to do is put a red cord hanging out the window. And when all of our special forces guys come in first, they will look and bypass your house. And then when the rest of the troops come in, they will see this red and they know that they are to protect you and ultimately to bring you with us." And she became a believer, though she was a prostitute, and her genealogy births Boaz. So the Lord loves sinners. He does. He goes to great lengths to help us and to protect us many times. And many times he lets us go off our way, trip, fall on our face, get some scars, you know, on our face, and we say, ouch, and we don't walk that way anymore. So as we read this, it's very understandable by itself. But this is the ultimate father, God. And David loved his father on earth, Jesse. He was known throughout history as the son of Jesse. So Jesse was honored by David's life. I was watching this crazy show, Pawn Stars. And I don't know why I was watching it. I was just watching it. Sandy was gone, and so I had to occupy my time. My message was done, and I'm sitting there. And there's the father, the son who owns and runs the shop, and then his son, and then his son. So there's one, two, three, four generations in this scene. And the grandpa, the great-grandpa, says to his son, he swore at him, they blanked it out, says, I wouldn't give you something, it's just so negative. And then the son, who owned the pawn shop, was listening to his son, and he said, you'll never get that because you blank, 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 blank. And then he turned to the other kid, his kid, and all four generations were cursing each other. Oh, my goodness. Talk about dysfunction. And the father, the first father, he's that way his whole life. So the owner of the Pawn Stars, he picked it up from his father and treated his kids the same way. And then his kids picked it up from their dad and their grandfather and gave it to the fourth generation of no respect. Very sad. Jesus said, from the lips proceed the abundance of a person's heart. In counseling, you listen to what they say. And you take those words and you see if it keeps coming up as a pattern, you know where to go and start helping and working. So listen carefully to the people around you. This man, David, king of Israel, is just thankful for his father, his heavenly father. And so, fathers, we honor you today. This is called Fathering 101. This is a very basic what it means to be a dad and how to be a dad. And those of you young men that are daddies, do not let the crying or the diapers or the terrible twos destroy you, that your morals would fall down or your ethics. This is part of raising a child. And you can see yourself in that child of what God has to put up with. And we do all the same things until we're broken and filled totally with the Holy Ghost. He starts out, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise his holy name, all that is within me. Praise the Lord, my soul, and never forget all the good he has done. I was talking with a lady who was having some therapy, and she said that she went to the doctor, asked something about her relationship with her father, and said, well, would you write down some highlights of your life? And the therapist read it and said, well, don't you have any good in your life that you can think of? And what about, and she had already told her a couple of things in weeks before. She said, who do you think looks after you your whole life? God is looking after you as your father. David, another psalm, said, when your mother and your father forsake you, the Lord shall take you up. He adopts us. I know in my generation that divorce was a taboo. And I know in many of your generation, divorce is very acceptable. It's become very acceptable in the Christian community to get divorced two or three times and not to stand with God. So as a child, and some of you are almost, I'm the oldest guy in the room. So as a child, and you still carry things about dad, this is a great day to just say, thank you, God, for some reason you wanted that man in my life. And he was mean like that pawn guy. and had a sharp tongue, never hugged me, never loved me, whatever. Those are all probably true, but you've grown past that, and you need to let go because God has picked you up. He's fathering you. It's the greatest experience when you become a Christian and you get that place, you realize God is talking to me. God is directing my path. God's leading me. God is actually answering my prayers. And then the things of this world grow dim, and your walk in the Spirit, this world is surpassed by the glory of God that you begin to see in your mind and in your heart, and especially in other people. Because we've all been made by the same Creator. In fact, the book of Acts, when we studied it last year, it said, all flesh, otherwise all human beings, come from one blood. You could go back, type in ancestry.com or the Mormon church and look at their heritage, and you piece everything together, it end up with a man named Adam and a woman named Eve. The first parents were all related. So we don't want to forget what he has done. And if you have nothing but negative feelings about your father, this verse says, don't forget the good. There was some good. Don't forget that. As I was driving along Freeway 5 coming off of Claremont Drive, I saw this really nice, clean, spotless, shiny chrome wheels. The paint obviously was special order, big Suburban, and a boat behind it. And it was a young couple with some kids in the Suburban. And then the boat was like a fast boat, but could hold 7-8 people, I guess, to go around the bay. And I thought, that'd be so cool to have a boat and just be able to go out right now on a beautiful day like this and cruise. We tried that once. And Sandy and I are both docking impaired. You wouldn't want to be around us. It was embarrassing to try to dock. So we got rid of that. We bought a Zodiac, a 10-foot Zodiac with a 6-horsepower motor so that I could bump into anything I wanted to and I wouldn't hurt it. Think of the good that Dad has done. Somebody stopped me and said, you told a story about a long time ago about a Christmas. I said, oh, don't tell me. The Christmas tree in Poway. Yeah, man, we tell that about every Christmas in our family. Oh, great. I've left such a great testimony to this guy. What had happened was it was Christmas time, and we were on a very tight, somewhat small budget, and all the children were small, and Christmas was big, and Sandy's mom and dad would come from Orange County and just lavish gifts that would fill almost the floor of the whole living room. So we were down to the day we had to get the tree up. Well, I had a long day, and I said, it's raining outside, and can I do it tomorrow? No, you might forget it tomorrow. I have an emergency. Could you do it tonight? Okay. So I went out, and I went to 2 or 3 lots. I found a nice 7-foot tree, 6-foot, something like that, and it looked nice. So I bring it back in, and all the kids are waiting before they go to bed, and Sandy's waiting, and they all go, this is it? What do you mean, this is it? This is the tree that we are going to celebrate around with all of our gifts? That's not very big at all, Dad. Mike, they're right. It is just kind of a scrawny. So you don't like what I choose. Now my flesh gets into it. All right, you guys go to bed. You put them to bed. I'll take this back. I'll find another one. I was so angry inside that they didn't appreciate what I'd done for them. So it's raining, I'm wet, I've gotten out of 3 or 4 lots, it's almost 10 o'clock, the lots are pretty much shut down, I'm driving through Escondido, I mean, I went all over the place, and I see a tree lot that had some big trees. The man was out there working, locking his doors or whatever, and so I walked up and I said, I know you're closing, but I'm looking for a big tree. So we got all sorts of, what do you want, 7 feet? No, that's not going to do it. You need 8 or 9? I might have some, but they're kind of scrawny. And I looked around, went towards the back. It was a tree lot with a house in the front of the house in the driveway. And as I'm walking to the back, I see a tree that is sticking up above his house, the tree. And I looked at it and said, wow, that's a huge tree. He said, oh, yeah, a bank ordered it for its lobby. And then they changed their mind, so it's so big. And he had ropes going out to one side of the house and to the barn and, you know, just big sandbags or something holding it up. I said, that's the tree. I want it. And he said, do you have a bank or something? I said, I wish I did, but no, I have a home. Well, this won't fit in a home. Oh, yes, it will. So I made a deal with him. He wanted a lot more than I paid him. And he said, okay, yeah, I'm not going to sell that tree. It took a flatbed truck and two union carpenters to deliver the tree. Sandy was waiting. The kids were off at school. And I said, oh, they're out front with the tree right now. And they asked if I could help carry it. It was, well, 30 feet tall. 20. We had to cut so much off that it was still touching the ceiling. That was whatever that was. But when you open the front door, these guys built this huge stand for it. When you open the front door, you walk into the branches of the tree. I'm serious. This tree, if it were right here, there were branches out to here. So the door opened. Oh, excuse me. What? And then you have to duck down. Sandy did not want to say anything about that tree. She said, oh, well, it is large. Yeah. Well, you wanted a bigger one. I got you one. I was going to make my point. You know. So then all the kids come home knowing there's going to be a tree when they get back that they'll love. They open the door and they run into the branches and crawl underneath the tree and come into the living room. Well, this is a really big tree you got to stand. I said, it sure is. So nobody dared say anything. And the day went on and Sandy came to me and says, you know, we've been talking. That we're sorry that we didn't appreciate your efforts on that first tree. We probably should give this one back and get that one. Huh, you want to get that one, huh? Well, how about if we just move it into the family room? Would they be happy there? Well, people could walk in the front door if we did that. That's great. So I got all five kids, got Sandy. We took this thing out. It filled almost the entire living room from end to end. We carried it into the family room, and they said, Dad, we need to help you shove it in here a little further to get through those doors. I'll shove it in there. Boom! I knocked most of the kids over, and the tree went through the wall. I don't know, Dad, if you've ever had an experience like that, right? Maybe you're docking impaired and Christmas tree impaired. But there is good that you've done if you're condemning yourself. The Bible has taught all of us that God doesn't condemn us. The cross doesn't condemn us. The cross woos us. The devil condemns and pushes you away. The Lord forgives and draws you closely. So let's remember the good he's done. He is one who forgives all your sins, not just a few of them. He forgives all of your sins. And you should be able to take a deep breath there. He heals all of your sins. And he heals all of your diseases. All, again. The one who rescues you, rescues your life from the pit. The one who crowns you with mercy and compassion. The one who fills your life with blessings. So that you become young again like an eagle. So there is 101 fathering, just very simple, of how David looked at God fathering him. Number one, dads, we have to forgive our children. There is a time that they don't understand right from wrong. And we need to be compassionate with our children, and we need to give mercy to our children. My stepfather died about 4 years ago, and he told my brother that he's always been guilty of how he used to discipline me. And he felt horrible about it. Well, he was dying, and so I called him up. I hadn't seen him for many, many years, and I said, hey, Dad, my brother said that you are feeling guilty of... He said, well, I over-disciplined you. I said, really? Yes, and I felt horrible about it my entire life. And I felt horrible when I had you and your brother put into that foster home. But your mother and I could not afford to have you. We both had to work. And I said, it was you, not my mom, that put me in that place? Yeah. And you disciplined me really tough? Yes. I said, let me tell you something. I forgive you, first of all. But knowing who I am as an adult, I probably deserved double of what you had done with me. And it's probably whatever you did, spanked too hard or hung me by my ankles from the tree out front or whatever you did, I needed that in my life. So I remembered that God disciplines us, but he forgives us of our sin. crowns you with mercy and compassion, and to be able to just sit with your little girl or your little boy, and they are sorry that they brought their bicycle into the living room and ran over the cat, and the cat's dead, and you want to get upset. Oh, a stupid kid would do something. No, it's mercy, compassion. For a daddy, it's very, very important, because our Heavenly Father's like that with us. He delivered us from hell, from the pit, as in Genesis 37, the story of Joseph being put in that pit. He's the one that fills your life with blessings. All the blessings you get come from the Lord. Tremendous blessings. Brett, could I interrupt you for a moment? That photograph that I said at verse 13? I've had a lot of grandkids graduate. One graduated from college. I have them graduate from kindergarten, elementary school. This is our daughter, Lily Grace, and our son, David. She graduated Friday from junior high school and is going into high school. And her mother posted this on the Facebook and said, here are the two men in Lily Grace's life that really love her. This is a picture from Lily Grace's Facebook that said, these are the only two men I need in my life to love me. Okay. When I saw that yesterday, I thought, what you said, Richard, that's cool. The Lord does what is right and fair. A father must do what is right and fair. That's called justice. It's right, it's fair. For all who are oppressed. So if you have a child, and I know that many people have children that were born with, quote unquote, some type of a disability. Moses went to God. He had a disability. He had a very bad speech impediment. And he told God, I can't speak. And he said, yes, you will. And he said, I'll send your brother Aaron with you to help you. And that's how Aaron got involved when Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh. And whatever that speech problem was, he came to some people and they said, we've got this problem with these children and there's some problems and we don't know what to do. And Moses took it before the Lord. And you know what the Lord said? Have not I made the deaf and the dumb, the mute, the cripple? And how much I love them. So God knows all the handicaps. And God knows how to minister in the midst of that. I don't think a child with some sort of a setback is a lesser human being than anyone else. But families have gotten divorced simply because the dad couldn't handle it. The mom couldn't handle it. It takes a lot of sacrifice, a lot of money. And God says, I know all about it. As a father, he would love to have you come and ask him instead of the government for the assistance. He loves you. And the physical being is not what's going to go to heaven. It's the spirit. And as a daddy, mercy, compassion, forgiveness of sins, draw them out of their own little pits they get themselves in. Forgive them. Just always show them God's grace. Justice for all who are oppressed. He let Moses know his ways. I'd like you to circle that. The person's Bible on your left-hand side. Say, remember that verse. He let Moses not know scripture, not know the Proverbs, not know, 10 steps to make it through the desert. He let him know his ways. And when I went to my pastor, that's what I was asking. Even though I'd been a Christian for many, many years, I just saw the older he got, the more he got from God, and the closer he became to the Lord. And he became very compassionate and tenderhearted, and he was always overflowing with grace and mercy because he understood his Father gave him grace and mercy. His Father in heaven gave his Father grace and mercy, and he as the Son. And we all need grace, and we need a lot of mercy, don't we? We're not perfect. When we look at our own soul, it can freak us out. But he let, and that's a prayer you should make. Moms, dads, and kids, could I know your ways? I'll be the first one to say it's going to hurt. Because if you're going the wrong way and you have to turn around and get back on the right path, you might get scratched by some bushes that you walk through or a branch of somebody's Christmas tree may poke you in the nose. But you're going to know his ways. His ways are not our ways. And yet churches corporately want it to be their way. And God's ways just aren't our ways. And you need to learn that. Sydney, who is on the end singing, she just graduated Thursday from Horizon High School. And to see her singing unto the Lord is like to see David singing this unto the Lord. She's young. She's vibrant. She's learning of God. And there'll be a time when God reveals his ways to them. Now look at this, Dad. He let the Israelites know the things he had done. There should be some history in your family. And I suggest to all of you that have photographs at home, write on the back who is in that picture and when you think it was taken. I have so many photographs, really cool old photographs of my grandparents from Ireland, and but I don't know what all the pictures are about or where it was taken. So there has to be a family tree, in a sense, that you share your history with your children. So he let them know the things he had done. And the Lord is compassionate. A father should be compassionate. Merciful. The father should be merciful. Patient and always ready to forgive. Our children were raised according to what we thought best, following the scriptures. And so when discipline came, that's what needs to be done. We got it in all of our ways. Patient, merciful, passionate. Jonathan, on Sunday night, I just got home from the Sunday night service. He was 5 years old. He had his Superman underoos with the cape and the big S on his chest, getting ready for bed. And he was playing around, and he found some of his sister's beads from a necklace. And Sandy said, whatever you do, don't put one of those in your nose. And the next thing he did is put it in his nose. He snorted it up. Well, I come in, I'm really tired. And she says, quick, we got to do something about this. And I said, oh, my goodness. It can go up in the cavity. So I got in the car, went to Pomerado Hospital, rushed in, said to the nurse, he's got a bead up his nose. And so she says, I'll get the emergency doctor right now and put him over in that gurney. And I'm carrying little Superman Jr. in, and I lay him down. And he's so frightened, and he's so nervous. And I said, Johnny, let's just pray, and Jesus will take care of this. Don't worry. So we held hands, and we prayed. And the peace of God just came upon little Jonathan, he was quiet. He was at peace. He knew that Jesus would not let any doctor hurt him. Well, the doctor walks in, and I see Johnny is a little nervous, and he walks up to him, takes him by the hand, and he says, so, Superman, you got a bead up your nose, do you? And that was it. He just took a pair of tweezers, the bead came out. That was so tender for him to calm him down by identifying that was Superman laying there. A bead's no problem for Superman. And you know, when you and I grow up, some of the things that some people can't handle is simply because they didn't have a father that taught them that. I'm sorry. We have such responsibility. And yet the whole world and the advertising, the magazines, the newspapers, the radio, the TV, the shortwave, the internet, everything says it's all about me, all about you. Everything's directed to you. The marketing doesn't appear to be marketing. But now they know what you like, and when you're writing an email or you're on the internet, what you've been looking at mysteriously pops up in front of you because they're following us. Dad's one of the greatest things that we can do is to put boundaries. So that a child knows you're going to get hurt if you go this way. You're going to get hurt. To talk to a 12-year-old girl that was prostituting herself out in Palm Desert when we held the festival out there 3 years ago. One of the first kids to come to Jesus. 12 years old, going on 13. Selling herself to the boys at the high school because she wasn't in the high school yet. And when asked, why are you selling yourself? Because I don't get any money from my dad to buy clothes. And to go to our school, you have to have clothes. These kids are rich and we're not. Really. The second was an 8-year-old boy that was hung up on pornography. 8 years old. How could that be? Boy, fatherless children is what Satan is looking for. So to be dad means that you have extra power. It comes not from Superman, but it comes from the Lord God Almighty. We want to thank him for all the good he has done. And I love it. He's always ready to forgive. He will not, look at that next verse. He will not always accuse us of wrong or be angry with us forever. Wow, he's ready to forgive, so it's not as bad as we make it. He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins, thank you, Lord, or paid us back for our wrongs. And so many people just shake their fist at God, or they say there is no God, and they mock God, and they swear and use God's name in vain. And yet, we've hurt him terribly, and we are to remember we haven't been judged according to our sins, but Jesus was. As high as the heavens are from the earth, that's how vast his mercy is toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, that is how far he has removed our rebellious acts from himself. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for the people that fear him. What a gift that is, fathers, to have compassion and to know that you're going to have to step out here a little bit. It might be out of your budget, but you're going to step out here. You may not have the time, but you're going to step out here. I remember being at a Little League game one year, and this boy had come up to the plate. They were 8 years old, seven, eight-year-old team, and the dad was the coach, and he was a type A plus, and he was loud. People sitting behind the home plate there and sitting in the bleachers, and all the boys are excited, but they don't have the skills yet. And that little guy gets up to the plate, and he's kind of frightened, you can tell. He's just not wanting to be at the plate. His dad walks right over, pushes me aside from where I stand, and he said, "Robert," or whatever his name was, "Robert, you either get a hit or you're not going on vacation this year." He said that in front of all the families and all the other boys. Oh, how we wish we could take back some of the things our tongue has said. There's probably no sharper tongue in a person's life than the father's. So we have to curb that tongue, and we have to fill it with mercy and compassion and grace, just like our Heavenly Father. And this is why David is thanking him. He certainly knows what we're made of. Verse 14, he bears in mind that we're nothing but dust. We forget that we're dust. We're just made of clay. We're nothing. We're just here for 70 years, the Bible says, 70. And God knows that we're fragile, but we, especially as kids and as teenagers, think we're going to go on forever. And the world is designed to perpetuate that lie. Because if they don't perpetuate that lie, J. Crew and Banana Republic and Home Depot and all the big corporate money things wouldn't have any customers. But because you think you're going to make it through this, you can buy all this you want and owe your credit card so much because you know that someday, somewhere, that mystery person is going to give me the money to pay it off. It's all a lie. You aren't going to go on forever. But God knows what you're made of. And boy, for those of you that are single parents, or you're in a new school, or a new neighborhood, new job, and it's rough, God is with you. And he knows your weaknesses and your strength, and he will not give you more than you are able to handle. And wherever you are right now, this moment, God knows that you are strong enough to handle it. Because he's put you through other testings and trials, you've avoided other temptations, you're going to make it. It just is not comfortable to wait on the Lord. Because if you do, the Bible says, wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength. Wait on the Lord. Know what God has for you. And then he says, in closing here, he bears in mind that we're dust. Human life is as short-lived as grass. It blossoms like a flower in the field. And when the wind blows over the flower, it disappears, and there is no longer any sign. Wow, Satan's deception, his deception is human life goes on slowly. It just moves slowly. You've got a lot of time. No, the time is short. Redeem the time, the Bible says. All the years that you wasted that the locusts have chewed up, redeem that time. Bring everything to the Father and lay it at his feet. And in this world, lay all these problems at your Father's feet. Dads have ways of being touched when their children come, no matter what age, and they ask for help. And I can tell you by experience, the older they get, the more help they need in dollars. You shouldn't be afraid to go to your father. Never, never be afraid to talk with God. Oh, he wouldn't talk to a person like me. He loves talking to people like you because he's got a plan for you, and while you're listening, he'll change things for you. Love him. Remember the good that your earthly father has done for you. Hold fast to those good memories, Paul said. Forget those things that are behind and reaching forth for that high prize and calling in Christ Jesus. Run your race all the way to the finish. And fathers, what a wonderful time to say, God, I thank you for the privilege you have given me to be a daddy, to be a father, to be hey pop, to be the one that these people look to. Maybe it hasn't been really a strength of yours, but today it can become brand new. And you can just say, Lord, forgive me for all the weaknesses. If I had it to do over, don't worry about having to do it over. God makes everything clean and whole in an instant. You don't dwell on the mistakes. If you have to ask forgiveness, ask it to your father or to your children. Life, just like a piece of grass or a flower, it's pretty for a while, boom, it's gone. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's mercy is on those people who fear him. I fear him. I know that he can take my life at any second. I fear him because I want to make sure that I'm saved. I don't want to knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, let me in. And he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Do you realize there's people that have deceived themselves? That they think that they're a Christian, but they've never been born again by the Spirit of God? And even when they enter eternity, they go with a little bit of pride. And then they realize it was a religion and not a relationship that they had. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That frightens me. I don't want to be in that category. I just want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't feel like I'm well done. I don't feel like I'm good. And I don't feel like I'm a faithful servant. But I know that his mercy endures forever, not just once in a while. It's a blanket covering of you. His compassion is a blanket covering through the years. His forgiveness is a blanket covering. God loves you. He is not angry with you. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's mercy is on those who fear him. His righteousness belongs to their children and their grandchildren. And to those who are faithful to his promise, and to those who remember to follow his guiding principles. And fathers, this is 101, fathering. Learn the principles from the Bible, and then treat your children like that. And in doing so, it is an opportunity to raise them in the fear of the Lord, and to use this situation of launching the boat to talk to them about the Lord. When we settled only on a rubber little 10-footer, I did have a catamaran, a Hobie Cat, many years ago. I'd sail around the bay. I loved it. I'd get it up on its side. And it was just all alone and me and the wind and ducking boats out there. And so Greg Laurie, I think you all know who Greg Laurie is, and Don McClure, pastor, good friend. He and I were the two of the first intern pastors that Chuck hired and trained. And Chuck Smith. And I said, I'll bring the boat. We'll go out in Newport Harbor and go out in the ocean. But the harbor is just so great. You have these long stretches. Yeah, okay. So when we're finished, I backed the car up with the trailer. I said, okay, if you guys will help me, just put it on the trailer. I'll get all the stuff that's on the beach. You just tie it down and anchor it with the bungee cords, whatever. Okay, see ya. It's all done. I'm driving back to San Diego. I'm in the middle lane, the fast lane. I'm doing the speed limit. I'm at San Clemente. I'm looking for cars around me. I'm getting close to San Onofre. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and I didn't like what I saw. The catamaran had come off the trailer, and it was on its side. And the concrete was chewing up the whole pontoon. And I saw that it was getting ready to go all the way off, and there would have been death and chaos everywhere. I just slowed down, car stopped in time, I got out. They forgot to tie it down. Completely. There was nothing. Greg just went one way and Don went the other, and the boat went the other way. So now you know, Dad's a secret to aqua marine success. Only buy what's rubber. You can bounce into the biggest yacht and still you get the same sunshine. You pay less for that small engine and the gas that it consumes. And then you say, oh, excuse me, I bumped into you. I was just trying to park. I didn't mean to knock your kids and the dog into the water. I'm sorry. No, God's wonderful. His mercy is with us, to our children, our grandchildren, to those who are faithful, to those who remember his guiding principles. The Lord has set his throne in heaven, and notice, his kingdom rules everything. Praise the Lord, all of his angels, you mighty beings who carry out his orders and are ready to obey his spoken orders, mighty beings. God's kingdom is an orderly kingdom, and it must be way beyond just earth, that he has armies. He has in verse 22, praise the Lord, all of his armies, his servants who carry out his will. Praise the Lord, all of his creatures, and in the places of his empire, praise the Lord, O my soul. Angels carry out orders. They're mighty, we're told in the scriptures, they're powerful beings. They are servants. They carry out the will of God. They are strong because Satan was a beautiful angel. Some total of wisdom was in him. And he took a third of the angels out of heaven. And this intergalactic war goes on. And our planet appears to be like a gulag, a Russian gulag, and a prison place. And we are watched everywhere. We truly don't have freedom. Our privacy has been taken from us. And all around the world, wars and skirmishes, over 40-some wars being fought this morning. Daddies, love your children. And children, love your daddy. Daddies are not perfect. And when daddies make a mistake, you have to give grace and forgiveness. Daddies will not always say or do the right thing. It could have been a very rough job. Taxes might be due, and he doesn't have them. As a child or a youngster or a teenager, we don't know all that goes in mommy and daddy's hearts. God just says respect them. Honor them. In fact, Paul the Apostle said, children, honor your mother and father, for it is the first, if only, verse of Scripture that says, by doing this, God will honor you with long life. So fathers, you're honored today by heaven and by earth. And if you're with your daddy right now, give him a hug. Go ahead. Or if you think that guy's cute next to you, go ahead, give him a hug. You can give him a hug. Thank you. So the Bible says in Romans 8, all creation is singing or groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Everything God created knows that you're going to be revealed as a child of God. And they've waited and they waited and they don't know when it's going to happen. But we do, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And as we see David writing this beautiful praise to his father, we realize he's also writing to Jesse this Father's Day psalm. Remember your father. And thank God for him. The issues can be dealt with at the throne. But honor, and you shall be honored.